following is a recording for Rafael Borja with iAdvise on Friday, March 3rd, 2017 at 9 a.m. Central Time. Good morning and welcome to MEMSER's fourth quarter 2016 conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the presentation, we will open the floor for questions. At that time, instructions will be given as to the procedure to follow if you would like to ask a question. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Rafael Borja of iAdvise Corporate Communications. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you, Cassidy, and good morning, everyone. I'm very pleased to welcome you to MEMSER's fourth quarter and full year 2016 earnings call. We have with us today MEMSER's senior management team who will discuss the company's fourth quarter and full year 2016 consolidated results as per the press release distributed Wednesday, March 1st. If you have not yet received a copy, please contact iAdvise in New York at 212-406-3693, and we will immediately send you a copy. Please note that today's call is for investors and analysts only. Therefore, questions from the media will not be taken at this time. If you are a member of the media, please contact the company directly. I will now introduce our speakers. Joining us from Lima, Peru, are Mr. Juan Luis Kruger, Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Gianflavio Carozzi, Chief Financial Officer. Also, please be advised that forward-looking statements may be made during this conference call, and they do not account for economic circumstances, industry conditions, the company's performance, or financial results. As such, these forward-looking statements are based on several assumptions and factors that could change, causing actual results to materially differ from the current expectations. For a complete note on forward-looking statements, please refer to the last page of the earnings release. At this time, Mr. Juan Luis Kruger will initiate his presentation. Mr. Kruger, please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone, and thank you again for joining us as we review MEMSER's results for the fourth quarter of 2016. Before I explain the company's results for the last quarter of 2016, I would like to share with you some of the highlights of our company's performance in the past year. During 2016, MEMSER achieved a strong operational and financial performance and made significant advances on its growth and strategic projects. In terms of safety, we closed the year with the lowest historical lost time incident index while achieving production above guidance in gold and above our revised guidance in tin as well. We successfully completed the construction and ramp-up of our ore-sorting pre-concentration plant at San Rafael, reflecting our commitment to innovation by applying this new technology with significant upside potential for our mines. At Taboca, in Brazil, we reconstructed the dike at Pitinga's hydroelectric plant, enabling us to secure significant energy cost savings. We also completed the expansion of the niobium and tantalum flotation plant, setting the ground for doubling the production of alloys at Taboca. We switched from a single alloy product with low margins to the development of two new separate alloys with higher concentrations of niobium and tantalum with higher margins. Last but not least, in Brazil, we expanded Pirapora's capacity to turn slags into tin concentrates. All these initiatives constitute the pillars of our strategy to turn around Taboca's profitability in 2017. Also, during 2016, we completed the pre-feasibility studies at B2 and Marcobre, making significant progress on our growth projects, starting also the final feasibility phase. We also acquired our former partner's 30% stake at Marcobre, allowing us to consolidate our ownership of the Mina Justa project and gain full flexibility to advance it. In summary, last year was an important year for us with very important achievements and developments, which we expect to continue in 2017 and which really have set the ground for our future expansion and increase and improvement in profit and profitability. Moving now to the fourth quarter results of 2016, the period was marked by significant international developments, such as the results of the U.S. election, the development of Brexit following Britain's referendum results in mid-2016, the resurgence of protectionist movements across Europe, with key elections coming in France and Italy, and the corruption scandal in South America and worldwide following the Lava Jato scandal in Brazil. This high volatility, or this context, resulted in high volatility, and as a consequence, it strengthened the prices of base metals, such as copper, which reached a peak of $2.69 per pound, and tin, which also reached a peak of almost $22,000 by the end of last year. It also weakened the precious metal prices, such as gold, which reached a low of $1,128 last year, and silver. Lastly, it also resulted in the appreciation of emerging market currencies heavily reliant on commodities, such as the Peruvian sol and the Brazilian real. Although the results of these effects impacted positively on our financial performance, it was our continued focus on efficiency and cost reductions that allowed us to capitalize on these market conditions. Given that we remain cautious of the current volatile market conditions, our main focus continues to be on efficiency, cost control, and on reaching the expected operating performance of Taboca as we move forward. Moving on to the individual fourth quarter 2016 operating results, we will start with the San Rafael mine and our Pisco smelter. San Rafael and Pisco produced 6,743 refined tons of tin during the quarter, 12% below Q4 2015, mainly explained by lower head grades extracted from the mine in line with its mining and production plan. This expected decline was partially offset by both the success of the ore sorting plants in San Rafael and the processing of slags in Pisco. For the whole year 2016, production of refined tin reached 9,573 tons, only a 3% decrease compared to 2015, while we had a much higher decrease in grades. In terms of cash costs, our cash cost per ton treated at San Rafael closed at $68 per ton in the fourth quarter. This represents a 43% cost reduction when compared to the same quarter last year, or the previous year, sorry. For the full year 2016, the cash cost per ton treated closed at $82 per ton, which is a decrease of 36% compared to the full year 2015. These cost improvements resulted from our continuous efforts to reduce our costs, our focus on productivity, and the higher low-grade volume treated at the ore sorting plant. Important to note is that this low-grade stock that is being treated at our ore sorting plant right now is expected to be consumed by the end of 2017. However, absent to this effect, we would expect to have a cash cost per ton treated in the range of $105 to $110 per ton. On a refined ton of tin basis, our cash cost during the quarter was $8,906 per ton, which represents an increase of 15% compared to that of the same quarter in the previous year, mainly due to the lower volume of refined tin produced, reflecting the lower head grades. Notwithstanding, for the whole year, our cash cost per ton of refined tin closed at $8,139, which is a 4% decrease compared to 2015, despite the lower volume produced and the lower grades at the mine. Moving on to Taboca, our Brazilian subsidiary, our Pitinga mine delivered 1,790 tons of tin metal contained in concentrate during the fourth quarter of 2016, representing a 36% increase compared to that of the previous year. Pitinga achieved record production levels of tin in concentrate in 2016. These results were mainly due to the increase in tonnage treated to full capacity and the impact of increased throughput as a result of the debottlenecking initiative taken at the plant. Upon completion of the repairs of the hydroelectric power plant dam at Pitinga, we also saw a significant operating cost reduction as a result of the lower diesel consumption. During the fourth quarter of 2016, Pirapora produced 1,721 tons of refined tin. That's 22% higher than the same quarter in 2015. For the whole year, production of refined tin reached 5,783 tons, which is 6% higher than 2015 and an all-time high since Minsur acquired Tavoca. In terms of niobium and tantalum alloy, Pitinga produced 489 tons during the fourth quarter of 2016, 13% more than the same quarter in 2015. However, for the whole year, the ferroalloy production reached 1,840 tons, which is a 15% decrease compared to 2015, and this was mainly due to the lower recoveries as we were sterilizing our production process following the changes in the technical specifications of our new alloy products. In other words, we were developing our new products, and that took a little bit of time to ramp up during the year. During 2015, we were producing, or we actually produced, a single ferro-niobium and tantalum alloy, which contained both tantalum and niobium and generated lower margins. During 2016, the main breakthrough was that we were able to develop two new products, one ferro-niobium alloy and another separate ferro-tantalum alloy, with higher content of both niobium and tantalum and around a 30% higher commercial value. This also allowed us to access a broader and deeper customer base with better margins. It is relevant to note that the niobium and tantalum flotation plant expansion was completed by early Q2 2017. The flotation plant capacity increase, along with the recovery of the dike at the power plant and further operational efficiency implemented throughout 2016 at Pitinga, strongly positioned our operations in Brazil to achieve profitability this year. In terms of cost, cash cost per ton treated closed at $18.60 in the fourth quarter 2016. That's 11% higher than the same quarter previous year, but mainly due to the appreciation of the Brazilian real during the period. For the whole year, our cash cost per ton treated at Pitinga reached $18.60 as well, which represent an increase of 3% compared to 2015, mainly due to the intensive use of diesel generation in the first half of the year after the incident at the hydroelectric plant last year. Moving on to Pucamarca, during the fourth quarter of 2016, production reached 19,551 ounces of gold, which is a 28% decrease compared to the same quarter last year, but in line with the plan. For the whole year, 2016, the mine delivered 105,659 ounces, which is a decrease, again, of 13% compared to 2015 due to the planned lower head grades. Nevertheless, we were able to outperform our annual production guidance. In terms of cost, cash cost per ton treated of ore was $6.2 in the fourth quarter compared to $4.7 in the same period of 2015. This effect was mainly due to the lower throughput in the quarter in line with the mining plan. For the whole year, however, cash cost per ton treated closed at $4.3 per ton, which is only a 1% increase compared to 2015 and below the guidance provided for the year, despite the lower production and mainly as a result of our cost optimization initiative. The cash cost per ounce of gold reached $470 in the fourth quarter, which is a 40% increase compared to the same quarter last year, but this was mainly due to the lower production. For the whole year, 2016, cash cost per ounce of gold closed at $313 an ounce, although represents a 12% increase compared to 2015. It was in line with our lower production levels and better than our guidance. Still, Lucamarca remains as one of the lowest cash cost gold mines in the world. Moving on to our long-term projects now, our feasibility studies for both the Mina Justa and B2 projects continue on schedule. We expect the feasibility studies to be completed by the third quarter this year. And all investments, it's important to note that all these investments in our two growth projects are being capitalized as incurred. In summary, 2016 was a year of very important operational results and very significant progress in our projects. Moving now on to our current year, 2017, I would like also to provide you this morning with some guidance for the year. We expect 2017 to be a key year for Minsur, as we expect Taboka to reach profitability, Lucamarca to remain as a very cost-effective operation, while we complete the studies to process fresh rock from the San Rafael mine in the ore sorting facility, allowing us to maximize the value from our lower-grade ore. It is also a year in which, coincidentally, we have important sustaining capital investments at all of our operations, mainly on tailings facilities and leach pad expansions. We will also increase our capex at B2 and Marcobre as these projects move into the execution phase late during the year. For 2017, in terms of production, we expect to deliver between 23,000 and 25,000 tons of refined tin in total. Around 6,500 tons, or between 6,500 tons and 17,500 tons, will come from our San Rafael and Pisco operation in Peru, and between 6,500 to 7,500 tons will come from our Brazilian operations, beating again Taboka's all-time high production levels. The lower volume of San Rafael is mainly due to the lower grades at the mine, partially offset by the full-year operation of the ore sorting pre-concentration plant. In terms of gold, production at Lucamarca is expected to reach between 90,000 to 200,000 ounces, in line with our long-term mine plan. Finally, our ferroalloys production at Pitinga is expected to reach between 3,000 and 3,500 tons in 2017 in the form of ferroniobium and ferrotantalum, almost doubling the 2016 ferroalloy production levels following the plant capacity increase at the mine. In terms of cash cost, we expect a cash cost per ton treated of around $70 to $80 per ton at San Rafael, mainly due to the operational efficiencies implemented during 2016 and the higher volume of ore treated in the ore sorting plant. At Pitinga, we expect a cash cost per ton treated of between $17 and $19 per ton, very contingent to the appreciation of the local currency. This number reflects also the energy savings following the repair and startup of the hydroelectric plant in Q3 2016. At Pucamarca, we expect a cash cost per ton treated of around $4.5 to $5 per ton for the current year. Finally, in terms of capex, at San Rafael, we expect a total capex of around $30 to $40 million for the year. This includes somewhere around $18 to $22 million for the expansion of the tailings deposit capacity. At Pucamarca, capex will be around $20 to $25 million, including around 18 to 22 million as well for the expansion of the leach pad. At Pitinga, total capex is expected to be around $45 to $50 million, which includes 11 to 13 million for short and long-term tailings deposit expansions, and also the conclusion of the expansion of our metallurgical plant at the mine. In terms of capex for our growth projects, the Mina Justa project will require between $25 to $30 million to complete the feasibility studies up to the third quarter of this year. Likewise, we expect B2 to require between $9 to $12 million to complete the feasibility studies by the third quarter this year. All in all, the total capex for a company in 2017 should be around $130 to $160 million, with a very heavy gear towards or to sustaining capex, mainly, as I said before, being spent on the expansion and increase of tailings capacity and leach pad capacity. With that, I leave you with Gianfranco Carossi, our CFO, who will review the financial results for the quarter.
Thank you, Juan Luis, and good morning to everyone. Now moving on to the financial results. Uncertainty in the financial markets was evident through significant fluctuations in commodity prices, as Juan Luis stated, with zinc prices trading between $19,500 and close to $22,000 per ton, and gold between $1,100 and close to $1,300 per ounce, with zinc closing the quarter at a strong $21,100 per ton, and gold at a depressed $1,148 per ounce. In both cases, zinc and gold average metal prices for the quarter were 39 and 10% higher than the same period last year, respectively. As a result, net revenues in the fourth quarter reached $171.5 million. That's an increase of 11% compared to the fourth quarter of the previous year, mainly explained by higher prices of tin and gold, partially offset by lower tin, gold, and alloys volume sold. We ended the year with $617 million in sales, similar to that of 2015, as higher prices mitigated lower sales volume. Cost of sales during the fourth quarter was 1% higher than the same quarter of the previous year, mainly due to higher costs at Pitinga as a result of higher throughput and a stronger real. After accounting for the increase in costs, gross profit reached $64.7 million, that is a 35% increase compared to the same quarter of the previous year. Moreover, gross margins reached 38% in the quarter, compared to 31% in the fourth quarter of 2015, clearly reflecting improvements in commodity prices. In annual terms, our cost reduction effort resulted in a gross profit of $241 million, that's a 21% increase when compared to 2015, and a gross margin of 39% compared to 32% in 2015. Administrative expenses during the fourth quarter were $10.4 million, that is 1% higher than the fourth quarter of 2015, mainly due to higher workers' profit sharing, because of higher income achieved in 2016 compared to 2015. During the fourth quarter, exploration and project expenses amounted to $8.5 million. Nevertheless, the fourth quarter of the previous year was affected by a reclassification of Marcobre's exploration and project expenditures for $11.6 million to other operating expenses net. Considering the whole year, these expenses reached $28.7 million. That is a reduction of 30% compared to the fourth quarter of the previous year. This decrease is explained by an optimization and prioritization of exploration efforts at San Rafael, surrounding areas, and due to the capitalization of expenses both at B2 and Marcobre's expansion projects. As a result, EBITDA reached $46.5 million during the quarter. That is an increase of 146% compared to the same quarter of the previous year. It is important to note that in 2016, EBITDA reached $207.4 million, That is an increase of 39% compared to 2015. In terms of net income, we reported a net income of $38.5 million for the fourth quarter of 2016, which shows an increase of $546 million compared to the fourth quarter of 2015, which was basically impacted by an impairment adjustment at Marcobre made in the fourth quarter of 2015. Net income for the year reached $88 million compared to a loss of $538 million in 2015, which was affected by the impairment charge at Marcobre. However, excluding the effect of the impairment charge at Marcobre and results from subsidiaries, we reached an adjusted net income for 2016 of $44.5 million versus an adjusted net loss of $33.4 million in 2015. In terms of CAPEX, investments totaled $50 million in the fourth quarter of 2016 and $124 million in the full year of 2016. During 2016, CAPEX was mainly allocated to the construction of the pre-concentration plant and other investments at San Rafael, T-sustaining capital investments at Pucamarca, such as truck maintenance, and sustaining and expansion investments at Pavoca, including the niobium and tantalum flotation plant capacity increase, the metallurgical plant capacity expansion, and the hydroelectric power plant repairs. In terms of liquidity, Minsur concluded the fourth quarter with $552 million of cash, of debt, and $549 million in cash and equivalents, resulting in a zero net debt to EBITDA ratio. This cash and equivalent position includes the $60 million initial payment for the acquisition of the remaining 30% on the Mina Justa project. In summary, this was a quarter of improved margins, heavy investments, important progress on growth projects, and an ongoing cash preservation effort. We are committed to further enhancing our operational and financial performance in order to maintain strong operating margins and to position ourselves to take maximum advantage of the current commodity price increase. With that, thank you for your attention. Operator, please proceed to the Q&A session.
At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touch tone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, just press star 2. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1. Our first question comes from Roy Yakovlev of Bank of America.
Thanks. I have a few questions mostly related to production. Can you tell me, just remind me about the facts regarding the ore sorting process. I believe it will last for 1 year and add how much in production? And then when does Bofedal 2 production supposed to start to add to the San Rafael mine? And then can you explain in the, I guess, not just the ore grade degrading at the Pucamarca mine, but the big decrease we saw in the fourth quarter in ore processed?
Yeah, thank you for the question. In terms of ore sorting, the ore sorting technology and the project was based on basically allowing us to treat very low-grade ore that we had been stockpiling through the years at the San Rafael mine, which otherwise would have not been economically possible to be treated. The stockpile was initially assumed to last a year and a half, and basically we're going to be mining this stockpile all the way through the end of this year, perhaps a little bit into the early next year as well, but we expect it to be completed depletion of this stockpile by the end of this year. This basically allows us to deliver between 2 to 4,000 tons per year of production out of this stockpile.
And then when
what we're doing now is we're starting how do we now use this technology to process lower grade material that will be coming out of the mine.
So to keep it in use post the stockpile's depletion, right?
Yes.
Okay. And when does Bofetal 2 begin to ramp up? Do we have a date yet on that?
Yeah, well, we don't have any project called Bofetal 2, so it's B2 for all purposes. B2 is going to start construction early 2018, and we shall expect production to come into line if everything goes according to our plans by mid 2019 or late 2019, the latest.
And then can you explain the decrease in ore processed at Pucamarca in the fourth quarter? I think it went down quite significantly from about 1.95 million tons in fourth quarter of last year to about 1.5 million tons this year. So it was down about 24%.
Yeah, this is basically in line with our mine plan and our production plans. There was nothing wrong at the mine. We just decided to decrease tonnage at the end of the quarter in order to go for some scheduled maintenance during the month of December, and the mine has been really outperformed what we expected for the year, with much higher recoveries than expected and higher grades than expected as well. So we were able to produce much more than what we expected. And that allowed us to basically schedule some program maintenance during the last quarter. All in all, we treated 3% less ore during the year, with 17% less head grade, as has been reported in our report, and that resulted in lower gold production, but the head grades, again, were higher than what we expected initially when we budgeted the year. We have been reporting a positive mine reconciliation at Pucamarca consistently. So that's what gave us a little bit of room to go ahead with our scheduled stop at the end of the quarter.
And in the B2 project, is it? I mean, what's the cause of it taking so long to put in effect? Is it a feasibility study trying to figure out a plan of how to remove the stuff and still maintain operations with the dam, or is it that you need environmental permits, or why does it seem to take so long to get underway?
Well, first of all, because we're following a very, very rigorous project development process. It's a gate stage approach that we follow, and with several independent peer review processes going on in both at B2 and Mina Justa. What that implies is that when you mine out an old tailings deposit, you have a lot of variability in the material. So what we have been doing is we have decided to extend our pilot plant, work. Initially, we were only going to conduct two phases of pilot plant test work. We decided to, in the last quarter last year, we decided to extend it to a third phase of our pilot plant program, which has finished already in January this year. So we're done with the test work. And it confirmed that all of the variability tests that we have done are confirming the expected recoveries and results from the project. So in other words, we have been more conservative on trying to make sure that the process flow sheet that we have defined will deliver the expected both recoveries and production levels, and also the quality of the concentrate that we need to ship to our Pisco smelter and be able to have significant creation of value on this project. The other aspect is that we are working on the environmental permits, and that is basically right now on the critical path. despite the fact that it is basically a plant expansion without a current, within our current premises and facilities, we need to go through the full, you know, permitting process, including some social and license and consultations with the communities, which is the work that is already being is underway. So that's mainly the reason why, but obviously if we can, you know, bring and push forward the initial production date, we're going to be pleased to do that because the project's looking really, really robust with very high margins, and it's going to really have a very significant contribution to our cash flow generation going forward.
Okay, thanks. And just a final kind of area to talk about. The Marcobre Mina Justa, I've seen projections that total CapEx is $1.3 to $1.5 billion, and that we have, you know, company EBITDA of about $200 million a year now. So I know, you know, the assumption is that there'll be a partner and that it'll be financed as a separate project off balance sheet from the issuer of the existing bond. Can you comment on when CapEx begins, how it's going to be financed, and how much CapEx we'll see in that?
Well, as part of our feasibility study and the gate stage approach that we are following, throughout this year, we're going to be working on the financing strategy for the project. It's quite early to say how much debt and how much equity we're going to be financing or funding into the project. But we're not really concerned on our ability to fund this project either directly or with a potential equity partner eventually if we decide to do so. So we're right now working on the financial strategy and the financing strategy for the project as we speak, and we think that throughout this year we'll have a definition on that.
I guess from, you know, I guess the bondholder aspect, our concern would be how will this impact leverage, and like, so that's an uncertainty for us.
Well, we have to also think about the EBITDA margins and the EBITDA generation of Mina Justa once it's up in production. Okay, especially, you know, in the first 7 years, it has a very, very significant and strong cash flow generation profile. So that shouldn't worry you.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And again, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touch-tone phone now. And again, that was star one to ask a question. We have no further questions in queue, and I would now like to turn it over to Mr. Kruger for closing remarks.
Okay, well, thank you all for your continued interest and trust in our company and for your participation in today's conference call. Please don't hesitate to contact me, Gianflavio Carossi, or Vladimiro Berrocal if you have any additional questions. And, of course, we look forward to speaking with you again soon. Thank you very much. Have a nice day.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's teleconference. You may now disconnect.